This week's mailbag comes to us from Abby. Due to our extremely busy ranching season, I haven't been able to do a weekly Sunday basket, but I've been throwing in all the mail and notes since April 1st. We finished lambing April 17th and had a day to get ready for a two-week road trip and family vacation. I went through and processed everything that was urgent and put things into slash pockets that could wait. I'm now relaxing by the pool, watching my kids play. The Sunday basket practice has really helped me contain all of the important information to one location, and consistently using it for the past few months has allowed me to have planned neglect without stress because I know it will keep. I plan on reading, visiting with friends and family, and resting on this trip.
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. In the last five podcast episodes, I've been talking to you about the research that Organize 365 has conducted about the essential areas that we need to organize in our home. These are not optional. These are not hobbies undertaken by women. These are four essential areas that we need to get organized: our personal organization, family and communal spaces, storage, and paper. But there are two areas that I have personally organized in my house, and I have organized for other people, that are optional. They're completely optional. You don't need to do them. The first one we're going to talk about today is organizing kids. It's optional if you don't have kids. I don't really think it's optional if you do have kids. But often, I think the reason why we struggle with organizing kids is because it is so complex and never-ending. And then next week, I'll talk to you about the second area, which is optional, which I think is also aspirational, is organizing photos and memories. So today, let's talk about organizing kids. Now, I went to college to get my teaching degree. I have a degree in early childhood and elementary education through eighth grade. I have taught everything from four-year-old preschool all the way through eighth grade. I have physically gone into other people's homes and organized children of all ages. I love to do it, and their bedrooms stay organized. And I've also taught my own children the skill of organizing. So I know a lot about organizing kids. And here's the thing. It's exhausting, never-ending, always changing, nearly impossible to do. Motivated, are you? No. I'm just a realist. I've done the whole take a whole month and organize all the Legos by color and by size bricks, and then it's undone in a day. Like, if you have children, I have been where you are. I feel your pain. I understand the struggle. I know what you want it to look like. It's never going to look like Pottery Barn, even if you can afford Pottery Barn, which I could not. I made my own fake looking like Pottery Barn thing. It never worked because the Pottery Barn bins are not clear. So as soon as I got it looking glorious, it looked so great for 18 months, but the kids totally stopped playing in the playroom because they didn't know where anything was. Having a truly organized space where you know where everything is, your kids know where everything is, and everything gets put away where it goes is completely different than what you see on Pinterest and in magazines as to what kids' organization looks like. If you want to know the best way to organize with kids, go into any preschool or kindergarten room in the country. That is what true organization looks like when you have school-age kids. Yes, in kindergarten, you know where to put back things. You know where they go, but you don't have any cute matching bins at all, none. What you have is open shelving, usually with a label that tells you exactly what goes in that space. And everything is either in a clear bin or it's just literally sitting on the shelf. You can do that organization at home. The problem is you also want it to look like, I don't know, a house with cabinets that you open and things that go inside. And so teaching the skill of organization, which is everything has a home and everything goes back into its home, is different than having a decorator mentality of what your home will look like when you have kids. Now, what I wanted when I was, the reason I got a teaching degree is because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, if I couldn't become a stay-at-home mom at the age of 18, then I guess I'll go teach other people's kids during the day. Like, every job I have ever had has been, how do I get to be around more kids? I was a babysitter, then I went to a college to be a teacher, and then I became a teacher, and then I had kids. I love kids. I love organizing kids. In my very first book, The Mindset of Organization, I talk about how I used to be a babysitter, and as soon as the kids would go to bed, I would organize the pantries and the playrooms and the kitchens and the bedrooms of all the kids that I babysat for. People loved it when I babysat, by the way, because I never sat and watched TV. I just totally took over and organized their house. I felt guilty about it till I realized how much the moms loved it, and then I just kept doing it. So I love everything related to kids. I just love it. But when I became a mother, and before we adopted our children, when I was trying to get pregnant, all I could see in my head was this perfect, idyllic image of what I would be like as a mother. And this is exactly what it looked like. I was going to have four kids. They were all going to be 2 years apart in age. I was going to have them dressed in identical outfits so they all were matching for all of the holidays, for all the photos that we were going to have. We were going to live in a house that had sidewalks with picket fences. I was going to be a homeschooling mom. I was going to grow vegetables in our own garden and cook from scratch every day. So if you were drinking coffee, I'm so sorry because you just spit it everywhere because you know I don't even cook anything whatsoever. I did try to grow a vegetable thing again during the pandemic. What an epic fail that was. Somebody else now has my hydroponic garden thing. I love projects. I don't like actually always seeing them all the way through to the end. What I thought I was going to be like as a mother and what I thought my house was going to look like when I was a mother is completely different to the reality of parenting your own children 24 hours a day. Can I get an amen? And the never ending and the unpredictableness of being a parent. And it took me a long time to realize that I am only in control of myself, not my spouse, a little bit of my house, and definitely not my kids. They come with their own personalities, their own wants and needs, everything. Like, you're not in control of other humans. That's not a thing. You're only in charge of your own self. And the organization that I was striving to have on the outside that I saw on TV and on magazines and on Pinterest boards was never attainable because it didn't function. It looked great when my mother-in-law came over, but the kids couldn't use it. I didn't even remember where I told them that their toys were going to be. So we're not going to be talking about kid organization as in what it's going to look like if you went into Pottery Barn. I'm going to talk to you about what does it really take to live an organized life with your kids from birth to 21. What does that look like? What are the three stages? How do you accomplish it? And how can you change your expectations for yourself and your family? So if I have not already drilled this into you yet, I want you to take these mantras from me that took me years and years and years to finally internalize. I, as the professional organization expert, am telling you this is what you should be chiming in your head whenever you walk through your house that is probably chaos at all moments. It's good enough. It's good enough. It's good enough. Everybody's alive. It's good enough. I want you to just walk into spaces that are complete mayhem, and I want you to go, you know what? It's probably good enough. Second, I want you to learn that we are going to establish how long it's going to take to do things, not when we get to a perfect end. Ooh. Let me say that one again. I want you to establish how long you could spend on getting things organized into that good enough standard versus spending all the time it's going to take to get to some idyllic image in your head. I think this is part of the problem with housework. Literally, it's never done. It's never, ever, ever, ever done. It's never done. It's never done. You're not going to get it done. Staying up later, doing it on the weekend, employing help. Like, it's never going to be done. Give that up. So if it's never going to be done, how long does it take you to good enough? And what does good enough look like? Are you going to send your kids into the room to clean and organize it until you could have an army inspection and a white glove test? Or are you going to say 45 minutes and it's good enough? You've got to give yourself a good enough timer and time. And what I would love for you is to listen to this exact podcast episode every single month until you finally could just recite it for yourself. You know what? We're getting to good enough. And for us, 90 minutes on Saturday, we're all doing this house. We get to the end of 90 minutes, the timer goes off. If there's anything that's totally, I can't handle it for another week, we're going to press on another 15 minutes and then we're going to say, good enough. There is no such thing as perfection. It does not exist anywhere on the planet. It just does not even exist. And you're trying to maintain that level of excellence in a house that literally is in constant motion and change. It's just, I don't know how you live without constant migraines. I have constant migraines. It's because I was trying to do that. I'm not doing it anymore. I have less migraines. Maybe there's a correlation. So good enough. We're going to set a timer. And the third thing I want you to really embrace is that organization is a skill. It is a learnable skill. You can learn it. Your kids can learn it. Your whole family can learn it. It is a learnable skill. It is a skill like learning a foreign language. It's not like learning to ride your bike or tie your shoe. It is a lifelong skill that will continue to be perfected, evolved, and changed as you go through different phases of life. But as you continue to learn the skill of organizing, everything will go easier and better for you because what you will get is perspective, bandwidth, clarity, and the ability to live more in the proactive than in the reactive. That's all I want for you. I want you to be spending a little bit more time living proactively and a little bit less time living feeling like life is happening to you. I want you to be in control of your life. So let's start with little ones, 0 to 5 years old. If you've listened to my podcast for more than a hot minute, you already know what I'm going to say. First, if you have some uninterrupted time, the first thing I want you to do if you're tired is to take a nap. It is more important that you get sleep than you try to make sense of any of the chaos that's going on around you. You'll be better. Everyone in your family will be better. Everything is better when you get a nap. So if you have children under the age of 5, you have 89 things on your to-do list, and you're exhausted, go to bed. I promise you, even with nothing getting done, you will feel better. Now, as long as we've established that and we're going to move on, I want you to really think about creating buckets of organization versus perfect systems. And by that I mean, from the time your child is born or adopted or gifted into your household until they go to all day school, you are on the treadmill and no one is pressing an off button and everything is constantly, constantly, constantly changing. The food they eat, how much they eat, what size clothes they wear, where they sleep, how long they sleep, when they sleep, everything. Everything is constantly changing. The sizes of diapers. Right now, as I'm recording this, Grayson is 8 months old. He's been in our family for 8 months. We have gone through 5 diaper sizes, newborn, 1, 2, 3. He's in size 4. We're already in size 12-month clothes. Yes, we had newborn. So how many sizes? That's 5 different sizes of clothes. He's gone through 2 or 3 different formulas. Then we did the stage 1, stage 2. He's already on to eating table foods. He's had 89 different sleep schedules. He's like, I mean, we've gone through the bouncy seats, the swings, the exercisers, you know, all the things. The cards that are black and white, we're done with those already. We're moving the crib down this weekend because it can't be at the top anymore because now he can sit up in the crib. Everything. Everything has changed. It's only been 8 months. It's only been 8 months. Every weekend, Abby and I go through and I'm like, okay, time to restock. And she restocks on the first floor and all the way up in my bedroom, all the diapers and the wipes and the burp cloths and everything that we need. So we have whatever we need for the weekend. And then she cleans out. She's constantly cleaning out things that she no longer needs. And I bring them into work for whoever's having the next baby. And that's what it is. You are a clearinghouse, basically, for the first 5 years. Actually, forever. But the pace in the first couple of years is just so fast. And if you have another baby and another baby, you're keeping up that really high treadmill pace. So I want you to think about organizing in buckets, literal big buckets. I want you to get those clear totes that I tell you to use in the storage room. I don't know, they're 36, 52 gallons. I don't know. They're like 2-3 feet deep by 2 feet wide by like 2 feet high, something like that. You know, like you could put a baby in it and it'd be like a bathtub, that size of a bucket. This is how I organize my kids. This is how I organize when I professionally did it. This is how we're organizing Grayson for Abby. Every size clothing has one of these big buckets. So 0 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 18 months, 18 months to 24 months. And as she is gifted clothing or finds it at a resale shop or purchases it, or my mother-in-law gives it to her, it goes in the proper size bucket. And then when Grayson is that size, those clothes go in his little dresser that he has. And within like a month or two, all of a sudden those clothes are too small. They go in a separate bucket that is for reselling or giving away, and we move on. So if you just have like 6 buckets in front of you, you have all the way from 0 to 3 months, all the way up to 12 to 18 months. When Abby was pregnant, I literally would go downstairs, and after she wrote her thank you notes, we would put the gifts that she got in each size bucket. Because I have an early childhood degree, I would also say, put these toys in that bucket, or put this, you know, put these size shoes in this bucket. Because I kind of knew what developmental level he would be at when he got to different things. So you have these buckets. And so your only job then is to have a past, current, and future bucket in wherever you are changing your baby. So the current bucket is what you're living out of. And if you don't have a dresser, Grayson didn't have a dresser for the first 6 months, live out of the bucket, for crying out loud. All you have are onesies and baby clothes anyway. I mean, you're not dressing him in all this other, it doesn't need to be folded. It's so small. How would you even fold it? It would be impossible. Like, take the dirty bucket up, wash it, bring it down clean, live out of the bucket. There's nobody's checking to see if you're folding this stuff. It's really fun to do when you're expecting your first. I'm telling you, take a nap instead of folding the clothes. You just bring the bucket up and downstairs. It'll be just fine. And as you go to put something on and you know that it doesn't fit, literally take it and toss it into the too small bucket. Don't put it back in the drawer. Don't think, what am I going to do? Just take it and toss it into the too small bucket. And then all of a sudden, when you're like, you know what, nothing fits, go over and find the bucket that is the next size, move it into wherever you are, and start pulling things out of the bigger bucket. And then on a weekend or in an evening when you have some time and the baby's laying in front of you and rolling around, it's after bath time, they don't want to go to bed, grab the bucket, sit on the floor next to the baby, give them a toy, and start sorting the stuff, and literally just start tossing it into whatever bucket it is in. Everything can be organized in buckets when your kids are 0 to 5. Their clothes can be done this way. Their toys can be done this way. If all of a sudden they're not very interested in a toy anymore, toss it in the too young bucket. And then go over in the bucket of toys that you have, that people have given you, or you have from past children, and you're like, oh, you know what, maybe they'd be ready for this toy. And just bring out one toy at a time and keep them interested that way. You're going to want to go through your kitchen like every 6 weeks. About every 6 weeks, already I've noticed I do it with Grayson. About every 6 weeks, I take everything out of his cabinet, make sure that we're using things up before they're expired, change out what we don't need. Now we've got little bowls and spoons in there. We didn't used to have that in there. I used to have spare bottles and formula upstairs. I don't anymore because he doesn't have very many bottles. The formula would expire. I put that down with Abby. Abby's apartment is in our basement. It's a walkout. It's nice. Don't worry about it. So your whole goal from 0 to 5 is to keep it moving and take a nap. Keep it moving and take a nap. I want you to walk in your house and go, what do I need to keep moving through this house and how can I take a nap? You are in the accumulation times 10 phase of your life. You've never acquired and moved this much inventory through your family ever. You've never seen this quantity of products coming in and out of your life as fast as it does in a child's first year of life. Now, the thing is, it keeps going like this until your kids are about 12. The pace of the in and out slows down, but the continual coming in and going out, coming in and going out, you really are an air traffic controller. Like, yeah, you're mom and or a dad and you're organizing your house and you want to have a certain aesthetic, like whatever, throw that out the window. You can have that certain aesthetic like at the holidays and maybe on Mother's Day and Father's Day. But other than that, like, you are in the trenches of parenthood. You are in active military duty. Move it out, move it out, move it out. Like, and just even that mindset, as I'm saying it to you, like, you're probably like, oh, because you think your home is a haven where you're going to go and you're going to enjoy and you're going to rest and you're going to read a book. You're not. Download Audible, put it on an AirPod, move it out, move it out, move it out. I will say, I found TiVo when my kids were little. I know you're like, TiVo, that's so ancient. I'm 50. Move on. And I would listen on TV listener headphones like we had in our car. You could buy that. You still can. You could buy it. And I would have a headset. So I could listen to what was on the TV in our bedroom. This is 2001, you guys. I was cutting edge. while I was doing laundry and putting the kids to bed or whatever, I could mentally be listening to like Desperate Housewives or whatever I wanted to be listening to. Same thing for you. Put in the AirPods or whatever kind of listening device you have on your phone. You can totally be listening to an audiobook, be listening to your favorite TV show, be listening to a podcast. I do it all the time with Grayson. When I'm rocking him to sleep for Abby and I'm feeding him a bottle and I'm looking into his cute eyes and he's falling asleep and I'm just gently rocking him, I'm listening to an audiobook. It's great. I get to enjoy the time with Grayson and feed my brain at the same time. This is the thing. You have to protect your brain. Your brain is literally going to turn into mush if you do not give it some stimulation. So put the AirPods in. I just put one in. Even if you have both in, you can hear the kids crying, but I just have one in. I could totally hear what's going on in the house, and I'm just moving through my day, and I'm getting it done. The other thing, total side note, I don't like complete silence, and also I hear everything. So if the baby makes a peep, I am going to hear it. So I started when my kids were younger running a box fan in our hall that just kind of gives like a nice white noise through the entire house. Yeah, still do it today. So if it's too quiet for you or you hear every little peep that the kids make or their playful bickering is getting a little louder than you want, just turn on a box fan. It's awesome. It's kind of like having the dryer running all the time. Okay, so 0 to 5, keep it moving in and out. You're an air traffic controller. Think in terms of buckets. We're not making this perfect unless you are having a party at your house, which doesn't happen that often. Also, if you haven't already figured it out, your kids are literally going to wear whatever you buy them 3 times. They're going to play with that toy once. So I highly, highly, highly encourage you to buy every single thing through a resale store, a garage sale, accept all the hand-me-downs people give to you, and then lovingly give them to the next person who wants them. You can easily get into this freemium economy by passing things back and forth to other family members or friends or people you meet in diaper studies and things like that. Just keep the stuff moving out as close to as fast as it is coming in, and you will survive 0 to 5. Now we're going to move on to the golden window of parenting. 6 to 12. It's actually 5 to 10. The years 5 and 10 are like perfection. They're actually, I can't remember from my college years, but the actual age of 5 and the actual age of 10 are considered like the golden years inside of a kid's life. They're just like happy, content. They understand the world they live in. They really enjoy it. So the age of 5 and the age of 10. And I have from 6 to 12 because for you as the parent, once your child is in all-day school, and they may have gone to daycare before this, but it doesn't matter. Even if they're in daycare, it's exhausting. Once they're 6 to 12, like you literally could say, go play, and they go play. Or you say, go pick this up, and they pick it up. Or bring it back to me, and they bring it back to you. And they like it. They like you. They like to do stuff for you. It is the golden age of parenting. They like to be with you. They also can entertain themselves. And I realize this isn't every child, but this is the golden window that you're going to have with your kids. 6 to 12 is the golden window. This is the prime time to teach your kids how to clean and organize their room, to take full ownership of their bedroom as their mini apartment, and have them really partner with you in keeping the house clean and organized. They love it. Now, can kids learn this younger? Yes, a few of them, some of them. And older? Yes, it's just not as easy. Because when they're 6 to 12, they have friends and they go play with their friends, but they also like to play with you just as much as they like to play with their friends. After they're 12, they don't like to play with you as much as they like to play with their friends. And after they're 12, when they're 13 plus, I'll tell you what changes inside of your parenting. So this golden window of parenting, you still have some time at home where you'll have family meals and you'll do things at home and the kids will be in sporting events, but it won't be like never ending. And so you do have this nice little window to get organized. And what I would tell you in this season is that you need to learn your organizing skills so that you can then teach your kids. So it's hard to teach something that you haven't learned for yourself. And so if you've learned how to get organized as an adult, but you are not an organized child, it's hard for you to teach a child how to be organized because you only understand the adult level of organizing. Organization changes in every phase of your life. There's childhood organizing, this 20s and 30-year-old accumulation organizing, 40 and 50-year-old survival organization, and then 60 plus downsizing and legacy organization. Each one has a different sense of urgency, a different amount of stuff that's being organized, a different perspective to what you're organizing and how you're organizing it. And if you became a parent in your 40s, you are adding accumulation to the survival level of organizing. You have to do the helicoptering, aircraft traffic controller organizing, but you have the perspective of having lived for decades, so you already have a survival organizing mentality. So when you are organizing these kids, this is when it's awesome to have the kids program do it for you. So our kids program organizes kids from birth to the age of 25. So that 0 to 5, I have a lot more organizing and how you can actually set up systems inside of the kids program. It's actually for you as the parent, because obviously no baby is going to organize themselves. And then from 6 to 12, again, it can be a little bit younger and a little bit older. This is called the learn portion of the kids program. And this is where I literally teach kids how to take their bedroom, which I call their mini apartment, and I teach them step by step through how to go through all their clothing. I think it's 5 lessons to teach them how to actually go through and figure out what they like and why they like it and how to respectfully explain to their parents what kind of clothing fits best on them and makes them feel their best, and then how to maintain and organize that clothing. And then we take their bedroom, which I call a mini apartment because it is a mini apartment. Like, your house has all these different rooms, and each room has a select number of functions. But a child's bedroom has like 8 functions. It's like a mini apartment. It has a sleep area, it has a work area, it has a hobby area, it has a clothing area. Like, it's your entire house in one room for them. And for my kids, once they got to a certain age, everything that they owned was in that mini apartment. It also gave me the permission not to live in a house that was full of just all of these different people's things. As my kids got older, more and more of their world really was in their mini apartment. And then when they moved out, they took everything with them and our house pretty much stayed the same. So learning the skill of being organized from an elementary teacher, which is what I am, how do you clean your bedroom? How do you vacuum? Why is it important to wear shoes? How do you change your bed? How can you respectfully talk to your parents about your clothes? How do you organize your clothes? How do you do your laundry? All that. I explain all of that in there as a teacher. It's like getting a teacher for your kids for organizing their room. And so it makes me the teacher, and that gives them the empowerment that they're learning from me, just like you're learning from me how to organize your house. They're learning from me how to organize their bedroom, and they like that. They like to be the one that is in class with the teacher learning, and then they could share with you what they've learned, and they could share with their siblings what they've learned, and they could watch the videos together. Okay, so then 13 plus. This is where we're starting to teach hashtag adulting. And really, the launch program starts to work really well around the age of 16, 17, 18, when kids are getting ready to move on to whatever their next thing will be after they live in your family home. But the mental of this hashtag adulting starts around the age of 13. So I remember it was Dr. Dobson who originally, I heard him talking about these 3 phases of parenting. The first one being 0 to 6, where the kids are 100% dependent on you. And then 6 to 12, where, you know, you really get to do life together. And then 13 plus, where the kids really are establishing their own thoughts and ideas and testing out different ways of thinking about all the things that they just knew to be true, like politics and all of that. Like, they start to have their own thoughts. And what I remember hearing from him is saying that at that point, you're a coach. And I really took that to heart. I heard it when my kids were very, very little. But I always knew that this around 12, 13-year-old time frame was going to come where I was going to switch more into a coach. And luckily, I taught middle school before that happened, and I got to see a whole bunch of kids that were 12, 13, and 14. And I got to watch them as they got into middle school, really little carbon copies of their parents. And by the time they were done with 8th grade, they had their own thoughts and opinions and way they saw the world and how they thought that they could make their impact on the world. It was just so fun to watch as their teacher and to just orchestrate conversations where they got to really think through on their own what they believed and what they thought. And so when my kids were 12 and 13, I had already done that as a teacher, and I just find it fascinating. I find people fascinating. I love different ways of looking at the world. I love to understand how people think and how they come to those thoughts. And so I've spent a lot of time with Joey. It was in the carpool line driving him to high school and home from high school was 30 minutes each way. And I've talked about that on the podcast before, just really, you know, being a sounding board for him and not judging either way and not really giving my input until he asked for my input or asking, do you want me to tell you how I feel or, you know, what research I've done? And he would say yes. He would always say yes. And then spending some time with him in his young adult life after he finished college, taking him on the book tour for that 6 weeks. We had so much fun traveling around the United States, meeting you and having those conversations on the airplane, in the car, in the hotel rooms at night, and just listening. And I think when you are able to take on that coaching role and not move out of active parenting, but move into a different level of parenting and really see how your kids think differently than you do, then you're available to share your ideas too, and they listen to it. So the difference in that hashtag adulting time and where organization comes into play is if your child has not learned the skill of organizing by the age of 13, their world starts moving faster and faster and faster. And it becomes harder for them to actually learn the skill of organizing if they haven't learned it before then, because their school demands, their extracurricular demands, their social demands become more and more, and they don't really have the time available to them that they have available to them when they're 6 to 12 to put into learning how to organize their bedroom. And also, they desire to spend more and more of their time away from home or with their peers, whereas a 6 to 12-year-old equally likes to spend time with their family and with their friends. So they see learning the skill of organizing their bedroom as something fun and something that the family's doing and something that's a family activity, whereas a 13-year-old will, 13 to, you know, 18-year-old will see it more as an assignment. An at-home assignment that they can get their arms around, but they're just not as excited about it as they are when they were 12 to 13. That's why 6 to 12 is the golden window for teaching the skill of organizing. However, 13 plus, they don't really want you organizing the room for you because they want to have some more privacy. So they will learn the skill at that point if they have not learned it earlier. What is super important for you as an adult at the age when your kids are in that middle school, high school, college age range is for you to have learned your household organizing skills to black belt level, if at all possible, because what organization always gives you is time. The more organized you are, the more time you have, which means you have more capacity to reorganize your calendar for the unexpected. And 13 plus, when they want to talk to you, they want to talk to you now. And sometimes it's not 10 minutes, it could be 3 hours. And the more organized you are in all of your actionable to-dos at home and at work and in your personal life, the easier it is for you to pivot on a dime and be available for your teenager to talk for hours on end without being stressed or worried or try to multitask when they're trying to spend time with you. So, kid organization. Once you become a parent, you are a parent for the rest of your life. And from 0 to 25, you really do need to be available for your kids, but that availability will change. So from 0 to 5, it's just constantly moving things in and out, bucketing those things so that you can survive the sheer quantity of things that are coming in and out of the home as fast as they are and really settle into the kind of parent you're going to be, what your house is going to function like when you're a parent. From 6 to 12, that's when you could get up some breathing time. The systems that you put in place for your kids will last 6 weeks to 12 weeks. They definitely need to be redone 3 times a year, which is why the 100-day program has always been 3 times a year and why it now the Productive Home Solution is the same way. But this is where you can get a lot of buy-in. Kids think it's fun to learn. Let me be their teacher, and then they can come to you like, guess what Lisa told me? Instead of you being the teacher, it makes it much easier for them to learn and take that responsibility off of them. And then 13 plus, hopefully the learning that they've already learned from 6 to 12 will stick. And then the organization that you have experienced will give you more time and capacity so that you can flex when your kids need you. We have a couple of additional kids program items here at Organize 365. So the kids program is a one-time cost. And it goes from birth all the way to the age of 25 as for all the kids in your family. It's $299 and it works for all the kids. They can all log in. Everything is there inside the kids program. Additionally, we have a binder called the Warrior Mama Binder. It is not for moms. It's for moms, dads, parents, guardians, whoever. The Warrior Mama Binder is for managing all medical alternatives. That's what MAMA stands for. And that's for any of your kiddos that need a little bit of extra support at school that end up on a 504 or an IEP. That binder will help you organize all of your thoughts and help you advocate the best you can for all of the needs that they have. And then we have these little kid clips. They're literally these little kids, a boy and a girl. You get to color them in yourself. These are great for kids that are like 3 to 13 so that you could put things on the refrigerator, you know, any tickets that you need, permission slips, birthday party invitations. And if you have one for each of your kids on the refrigerator, then they know which clip is theirs and they could see what is in there. And inside of the program, I tell you how you use that as well. So yes, organizing kids is optional because not all of us have kids. But if you have kids, it's really not optional, if you know what I mean. If you want to stop feeling like you're always living a reactive life and life is happening to you and you want to be more proactive and more in charge, then getting your kids on the organizational bandwagon with you, increasing your organizational skills in the house and having them increase their organizational skills in their bedroom will really, really help you. And the more you all can grow in your organization, the more time you will actually have at home to enjoy each other, play a board game and have a family dinner and go for a walk and go to the park and all the fun things that you want to do and that you dreamt about doing when you were parents. Because I know you did not dream when you were going to have these children in your home that you would spend the rest of your life just cleaning and organizing. That is not the American dream. So let's get it organized so that it is good enough. Decide how much time you're going to put into this. And when the timer goes off, that's it for the week. And remember, you can learn the skill of organizing. Everyone in your family can learn the skill of organizing. The more organized you are, the more time you have to spend with the people you love and do the things you're most uniquely created to do.